And oh, by the way, he's second in command at this point. Second in command only to the king himself, the Pharaoh. So some other words that might be synonyms to the word dismayed: appalled, terrified, frightened, scared, but my favorite is horrified. That's how the brothers felt in his presence. But I love Joseph's response. Verse 5, "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here." Now notice, he did not forget. He remembered. He remembered every moment, every horrible moment that he experienced. But he makes a choice to recognize, look at the last part of verse 5, "For God sent me before you to preserve life." I believe the big key to Joseph's success was forgiveness. In all the verses about Joseph, we never see bitterness or resentment. After his elevation to power, he does not punish Potiphar or his wife. He does not punish the butler who forgot him for 2 full years. And he does not punish his brothers. I want you to listen this morning to this point. Nowhere do we read verses where Joseph complains or bitterly tells everyone about his horrible life story. And nor does he seek revenge on anyone. Joseph tells us the secret. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 50. Just a few pages past that page. Genesis chapter 50. I want you to look in verse 18. Genesis chapter 50, verse 18. "Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.'" That's a great response. "We belong to you. We're your slaves." Verse 19. "Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? I'm not God.'" Verse 20. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is today, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Do you see the choice that Joseph made? He had the memories. He didn't forget. He had the opportunity. And folks, he had the power to make their life absolutely miserable, even including having them killed. But he chose a different path. He chose the path of forgiveness. He recognized God's hand in all of his circumstances. Even when people did things to hurt him, he knew God was ultimately in charge and the outcome would be God's outcome. There's a bigger story going on here. Physically, we're going through life and we're bumping into things, mean people, bad people. They do horrible things to us. And sometimes all we focus in is on those bad acts or those bad actors. But God wants to see a bigger picture. He wants us to respond differently to it, as Joseph did. So what in the world is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the act of excusing or pardoning others in spite of their errors or unjust treatment. You might have a different definition, but that's a general definition. But I want you to know that forgiveness is not forgetting. As we talk about forgiveness today, I'm not asking you to forget about the horrible things that have been done to you. I'm not asking you to not forget those things. I'm asking you to choose the path that Joseph chose, the path of forgiveness. Only God has the ability to forget. In fact, even in that, he chooses not to remember. Forgiveness is to choose to accept the person's mistake and forgive. Forgiveness is to choose to not let that person's mistake dominate your life or your relationship with them. I am not saying that we are to acknowledge that what they did was right or wrong. What I'm saying is we have a response to make to those bad actions or bad actors. And that is forgiveness. want to share three reasons why we must choose a life of forgiveness. The first reason we should choose is, I must choose to forgive because forgiveness is commanded. Now, we're going to see here in a moment that this is not an option. God has commanded that we forgive. And there's several reasons why we are to do that. First one is, Jesus lived the life of forgiveness. He's our supreme example. Notice in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, he says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Here's Jesus at the rock bottom of his life here on earth. He's been abused. He's been reviled. He's been tortured. Yet on that cross, he is saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If there was anyone who had the opportunity to make a big difference and say, you know what, I'm not taking this, it would have been Jesus. Yet he chose to forgive. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's the example that we're to follow. With all the insults and abuse that Jesus experienced, he lived a life of constant forgiveness. So how does Jesus forgive? I believe there's three different things that we can learn from this. The first one, as found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, is he forgives completely. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Remember I told you he chooses to forget? It's a choice that God makes. As God, he can't forget, but he chooses not to remember those things. He initiates the forgiveness. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcised of your flesh, he has made alive with him, having forgiven you all trespasses or sins. What, isn't that an awesome thing? God chooses to forgive us. The second thing is, we're commanded to live a life of forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. He sets the example once again by choosing to forgive us when we were unworthy of that forgiveness. An example of that is Stephen. He's given his life for the Lord. He's in the act, he's enduring the stones, the stoning by the religious crowd. And he's got an attitude. He's got a perspective. In Acts chapter 7, verse 60, it says this, then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice. Now remember, he's saying these words in the midst of being stoned. These rocks, if you've ever been hit by a rock, you know it's unpleasant. I've been hit by many in my childhood. My childhood, yes. But this is going on, and look at his attitude. Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You see any threatenings there? Any bad mouthing? No. He chooses to forgive. The question is, how often should we forgive? Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22 clears it up for us. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall a brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, you've got to realize that during this time, the rabbis were teaching that if you forgive for one offense three times, you're good to go. Three times, and on the fourth one, start throwing rocks. Start paying back. Fire with fire. So Peter was saying, you know, I'm actually going above and beyond what the rabbis are saying. I'm saying seven times. But look what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven for one offense. Not a math person, but that's 490 times. It's a lot of forgiving. The idea here is unlimited forgiveness. In other words, forgive and keep on forgiving. So the first point, I must choose to forgive because forgiveness is commanded. Number two, I must choose a life of forgiveness because I value my relationship with God. I hope that everyone here in this sanctuary is choosing to have a relationship with God. It all starts with accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's where the journey begins. But in order to maintain that, we need to choose a life of forgiveness. God requires us to forgive for Him to forgive us. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew chapter 6. And I appreciate you having your Bibles this morning. If you don't, if you have a Bible app, please use that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. In this manner, he says there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray, this is Jesus talking, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Look in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see how important it is to choose a life of forgiveness? Why does God require us to forgive others? I think that's an important question. As I mentioned, there's three different reasons why I believe that's true. It frees us for service. Look in Matthew chapter 5, just a couple of pages back. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's a very different take, and we're going to explain that a little bit more later on in the message. But it frees us for service. We are most like God when we forgive. When we forgive, we are free from having our behavior determined by the way we're treated. Now, please get that again. I'm going to say it again. When we forgive, we are free from having our behavior determined by the way we are treated by others. When we choose not to forgive, we are in bondage to the other person who has done some misdeeds or has been a bad actor. So we need to recognize that is our obligation. We need to choose. And when we forgive, we're not enslaved by the actions of others. The second thing that forgiveness does is it frees us from physical damage. When we don't forgive, we become angry. We become bitter. It has an inward impact. What doctors say anger does to our body, anger suppresses the immune system. It alters the neurotransmitters in the brain. These are chemicals that allow us to make decisions. These chemicals that pass information from neuron to neuron. When they're slowed down, depression. When they're sped up, depression. Anger affects the autonomic nervous system, causing stress. Anger is linked to heart disease. Folks, there are physical manifestations of when we don't forgive, when we choose not to forgive, we have anger, we have bitterness, we have hatred, all those things cause problems. And then the third thing that forgiveness does, it frees us from revenge. Joseph had no desire for revenge because he recognized, and we should recognize, that God will take care of any discipline needed by others. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says this, beloved, and I want you to recognize, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to born-again believers. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. God's got it. He's going to take care of them. God can take care of people and turn their bad actions toward us into ministry. But God does that. We have people that are absolutely consumed with getting even. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. And we will waste our life trying to get even. God says that's not the way to live. My life verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He wants us to know that he's going to use the good and the bad in our lives for good. Whatever it is that this person or persons have done, we can spend our entire life trying to get even, trying to make it right, and all we've done is wasted the precious life that we have. God is going to work these things out. Since God is in control, I can forgive because he will take care of that person. Since God is in control, I can forgive because he will use the bad circumstances for good. And then the last point, we've looked at, the first point was, I must choose to forgive because forgiveness is commanded. Second, I must choose a life of forgiveness because I value my relationship with God. Number three, I must choose to live a life of forgiveness because I want to have a positive impact on others. Is that your heartbeat this morning? I hear a lot of people say, I want to serve God, I want to honor God with my life. But this little compartment, this little closet of anger, that's for me. I'll use all this other for God, but I want to keep this just for me. Because you don't know what that person did. If we're going to have a positive impact on others, we need to get this next concept. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 says this. And there's a context. When we see the word therefore, you got to find out what the word therefore is there for. And chapter 12 is all about behaving like a Christian. These things that we do because they honor God. These things that we do because they're a blessing and edification to others. All of that. He says, therefore, comes down to this. If your enemy, now who is the enemy? The enemy is the person that, fill in the blank, is that jerk of a boss. It's that mean neighbor. It's that brother or sister that has hurt you. It's that grandmother, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, whatever. Fill in the blank. That can be your enemy. He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. Now that is definitely outside of our comfort zone. Because we know, based on in the Old Testament, that the law says that we're to love our neighbor. Jesus said, the law says that you should obey your neighbor, but I say, love your enemy. And you fill in the blank with that person that's hurt you, that person that's abused you, that person that has damaged you. God says, love your enemy. Now there's a concept here in this verse that's really difficult to get. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him drink. Look at what's next. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now that's a cultural metaphor that we simply don't get anymore. That's 2,000 years ago. Very, very different than what we can imagine it means. But I'm going to give it a shot anyway. Here it is. I'm going to reread this verse with some different words. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing this for your enemy, you make him feel ashamed. Now the goal is not to make that person feel ashamed. The goal is that by your actions of love and forgiveness, that person will be ashamed of their own bad behavior. The things that they have done. Folks, the world is looking at us and they want to see something different. If they see people that are responding in a negative, horrible, hatred, bitter way, what's different from us and the world? The world wants to see something different in us. When I return evil for evil, folks, there is no ministry. And that's the natural thing to do because we're human. If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You do bad things to me, I'm going to do bad things to you. I'm going to take you out. That's the natural thing. And we might even feel a moment of satisfaction. It might even feel a little justified. But God says, that's not going to be so with you as my children. When I return evil for evil, there is no ministry. When I return good for evil, God uses that to bring conviction in that person's life. Instead of fighting fire with fire, try love and forgiveness. We've got a lot of hurting people, not just in this room, but in our world. A lot of hurting people. I've been a chaplain, well, this last year I retired, 21 years in the Navy, and I saw a lot of hurting people. I saw a lot of people that were desperately trying to make things right. But not doing it in a good way, a way that honors God, but a way of hurting them like they hurt us. And I've learned this concept. Hurting people hurt people. And if you return the fire for the fire, the opportunity to make a difference is over. God wants us to respond in a different way. I have mentioned in times past about my family of origin. My dad was not saved. My dad was addicted to rage, wrath, anger. Not a pleasant person to live with. And I was afraid of him. I thought that was normal. I didn't have a frame of reference that this other families were different. So my dad got saved when I was a teenager, and praise the Lord for that. Very grateful that he became a Christian. But long after I left my family in college, after I got married to my wife, really, really struggling with anger, bitterness. And I came to realize that really I hated my dad. My dad was a monster. Even though I was a Christian now, I had a lot of unresolved anger toward him. So about 25 years of age, I decided that I wanted to tell him that I forgave him. I needed to tell him that I forgave him for the stuff that I experienced growing up. So I was there at his house, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was still awake. I'm like, wow, he's still awake. And my wife encouraged me, go talk to him. He's awake. There's a reason why he's still awake. But I didn't want to because I was afraid. So finally, I mustered up enough courage to go and talk to him. And how do you start a conversation like that? He's lying on the bed. I'm lying next to him. I'm like, how do I start this really important, life-changing conversation with my father? So I said, Dad, do you ever regret some of your decisions that you've made in your life? And he launched into, well, I wouldn't have started that restaurant. I wouldn't have started that restaurant. I wouldn't have done that or this. No, Dad. Do you regret some of the decisions you made as a dad? And at that moment, the dam broke. That night, in his bedroom, I saw two things happen that I had never seen before. I saw my dad cry, and I saw my dad pray. Now remember, I told you he became a Christian. And he told me, he said, son, you don't know how many times I wanted to pick up that phone and beg for your forgiveness. But I was afraid. And that night changed my relationship with my dad. From that moment until he died 6 years ago, I had the relationship with my dad that I never had as a child. And I praise the Lord for that. But it wouldn't have started if I didn't take that first step and say, Dad, I need you. I love you. And I forgive you. And I'm thankful for that. Who is that person that's in your mind right now that you need to forgive? Who is that person that you harbor deep-seated hatred, anger? Who is stopping you from being the fruitful, loving, open, loving child of God that you need to be? It's not necessarily for the person that you're going to forgive. It's for you to release you from the bondage that that person holds over your life. It's time to stop. It's time to forgive. And I encourage you to take that step. Have the courage to take that step. We've laid out the case here in God's Word, the importance of forgiveness. And I encourage you to do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what we have heard this morning. Father, your word is quick and powerful, and it cuts us through bone and marrow. Father, but it also quickens us. It makes us alive. We're so grateful for that. And I pray right now for that one person that's in this sanctuary right now that's grappling with this idea of forgiveness. Father, it's not easy. In fact, it's probably the most difficult thing that we will ever do. But Father, we need that freedom. We need that release. We need to choose to forgive because you've commanded it. And we want to have an accurate, open, free relationship with you. And Father, we have no idea the power of the impact of our testimony, what difference that will make. So I pray that you would help us to choose forgiveness, especially when it's the most difficult. We give these things to you, Lord, and we ask God you'd give us the courage to love and to forgive. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand together. We know that God is a holy God, completely pure, and yet he chose to send his son Jesus to die for us and forgive us for our sins, and it's only through his power that we can forgive others. Let's sing it together. Holy, holy, holy.